You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Get better, not bitter. The one thing you have to understand about being a child of God is that you're going to go through hardships. Hardships, in one sense, are difficulties, painful situation, or it has to do with a child of God experiencing sufferings. Now, in one sense, always remember that difficulties are simply a part of life, that everyone is going to experience difficulties. You have to understand that. And you say, well, Pastor, why would you say that? Because, again, you have to understand, really grasp that earth is not heaven. You always have to keep in mind that part of living in this earth means that you and I both are going to go through some difficult times. You have to understand that it's so much a part of life that it doesn't matter whether a person is rich or poor, they're going to have difficulties. Doesn't matter whether they're married or single, they're going to have difficulties. Whether you have a good job or no job, you're going to have to deal with some difficulties. Am I right about that? Young or old, you're going to experience difficulties. Why? Again, grasp it. Understand it. Earth is not heaven. The only place where we are not going to experience any difficulties, any hardship, or any afflictions is in a place called heaven, and we are currently not in that place. Pastor, how do you know? Because we still having to get up and go to work. We still having to do something that let us know this is definitely not heaven. Am I right about that? So you have to realize it from that standpoint, that it is a part of life, something everyone's going to go through. But as a Christian, as a child of God, you and I have to understand hardship from a totally different perspective, that being a biblical one or a Christian perspective about affliction. And that is that we are, as Christians, appointed to afflictions. You have been appointed to go through hardships, and it's not like a dentist appointment. It's not like an appointment that you schedule, but then based upon what's going on in your life, you simply call the doctor and you cancel the appointment, and you just simply tell him, I want to reschedule. I had something to come up, or somebody know where I'm going, and I ain't gonna be able to make this appointment. But you have to understand, when it comes to God himself, the sovereign one, appointing a person to go through hardship, that's an appointment that you cannot cancel. That's an appointment that you can't go around. You can't go under. You can't jump over. It's something that God deems is necessary for your life. You need to go through this experience. And yes, God will allow even his own children to go through things where they experience pain. Yes. And sometimes we go through and we get so caught up on how painful something is that we forget how good our God is. I said, we go through things and we concentrate more on the affliction than we do the power of God to deliver or heal or sustain in the midst of an affliction. I wish you look at somebody and shout, show he right. If you've ever been there, tell somebody he right about that. Some of us went through hardships, and the only thing we wanted to talk about was our hardship. The only thing we could think about was our hardship. And there are people in church this morning that, yeah, you're going through something tough, but you are allowing that tough situation to just dominate your life. You can't do that. You have to recognize as a Christian that I've been appointed to go through something painful that I might be able to help somebody else. This is not a bed of ease. This is not a cakewalk. Being a Christian is something that you got to take serious. And when it comes your time to suffer, you got to rejoice the same way you do when it comes your time to be blessed. Because you have to recognize that suffering when appointed by God is in fact a blessing. That's the reason James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. But whenever you do so, don't expect folk to be able to understand you. Get ready for folk to look at you like you crazy, to look at you like you done lost your mind. You should be worried right now. You should be stressed out this morning, but you have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so you're cool in the midst of the storm. I wish you'd tell somebody, I'm going through it, but I'm rejoicing. Recognizing that I've been appointed. But let me back up and deal with afflictions, a hardship, a suffering that God people go through, but they are self-inflicted. They are not that which God appointed, but it's something you caused. It's a decision you made, something you chose to do. Listen carefully, because you ain't gonna like this. That brought pain in your life, brought suffering in your life. And I know some want to act like everything we go through that's difficult, God got something to do with it. But God told me to tell you, stop lying on him. He does not have everything to do with some of your suffering. You appointed yourself to be there. Oh, I ain't getting many clap, but I know it's right. I know there are at least a couple of us going through something difficult, but it was your foolish choices. And a lot of preachers won't tell you that. They'll just tell you something good or tell you something they know you want to hear. But if you keep doing dumb stuff, you're going to keep causing pain. Be seated and let me deal with it. I feel good this morning. Don't get me wrong. I ain't just looking good, I'm feeling good. Strength. You haven't got strength. Power in this hand. But I can choose to take my fist and hit this podium as hard as I can. And it may crack, but something else gonna crack. And I'm going to end up in a whole lot of pain. I'm going to be hurting real bad. But in the end, when they examine the broken bones and so forth, the pain is real. But how I ended up there is just as real. See, some of us in a painful place, but how did you get there? What did you do to get there? What part do you play in the story? Because some folk will be in the midst of a horror story, yet they didn't play a part in how they got there. Devil is a lie. You the main character of the movie. And though you are hurting and suffering, it is by your own choice. Here's the thing. Not only am I going to be hurting right now, and hurting when I visit Piedmont, but I'm going to be hurting days later when Piedmont said, hey, we didn't forget what you did. So here's a bill for us having to help you. Oh, yeah. See, it ain't just you got hurt that day or you messed up that day, but now you're reaping things. Good God, I'm going to preach it whether you can mean me all you want to, but I'm going to preach it because I ain't called your name, so you shouldn't be mad. Don't nobody know that it's stepping on your toes but you. See, there are people, if the truth be told, they suffering financially, but they do dumb stuff with money. Handling real money like it's Monopoly money. But then crying about things being behind. They can't do what they need to do. But when you study their handling of money, Money is a tool. Look at how they use the tool. Yeah. I know you're suffering. I would be too if I were doing some of the things you were doing. So yeah, the pain real. But how you got there just as real. But then you have folk going through in their body. But are you taking care of your body? See, it's one thing. See, there's a difference between a body and a car. See, no matter what happens on your car, there's a store somewhere that sells the replacement part. But when it comes to this precious body, can't just pull up that auto body. Oh, come on, y'all didn't hear me. Can't just find an advanced body. But y'all feeling me? But yet there are people who do things that affect their bodies from a negative standpoint and then complain about the suffering that they're experiencing, but they're causing it. Oh, I'll keep breaking it down until you get it. See, you got to learn to do for your body what's good for your body. Oh, good teaching, good teaching. Don't let them shut you down. You got to learn to do for your body what's good for your body. See, it worked like this. If you tell me that eating bacon is giving you a headache, causing you to be dizzy, and you don't feel like yourself when you get through with that pig, then I'm going to tell you, in reference to your body, don't eat that. Even if you see your brother eating it and smiling, your body. Come on, it's good teaching. Sometimes we need to put down the Coke and pick up the natural, the water. But when you ain't concerned about your body unless your body hurting, you may end up going through some suffering that you really didn't have to go through. And y'all not going to like this, but in my opinion, Christians are notorious for not taking care of their bodies. Until their body just won't move. Now they're getting serious. But we also visiting you. Certain ones in here know you battle certain things, but won't even take care of your body. Yeah, you're sick. But if the truth be told, a lot of it's self-inflicted. See how quiet it got when you teach stuff like this. I'm finna move on because a whole lot of folk just want to be going through and just say, where the Lord? The Lord is... I know the Lord going to bring me out. But see, the Lord ain't got you there. Now we can repent. Ask for mercy. But we got to start acknowledging where we are afflicting or hurting ourselves. I got to move on. I mean, but some marriages are jacked up because of the way people talk to one another. Well, there is no respect that's going mutual. Yeah, brother, she got to submit to you, brother, but you need to submit yourself to God so that you give that woman something good to submit to, because she ain't a fool and she ain't submitting to wrong just because you got a beard or a deep voice. I said we need to do this. Yeah, you said we need to do this last time, and everything got jacked up. I got to move on, but we got to start limiting things where we're hurting ourselves. Am I right about that? Now I could have kept going, but I got to move on. But you know what you're doing. Self-inflicted. Keep going from job to job to job. Why you can't hold a job? everybody always mistreating you? Or is it laziness? Repeated tardies, absentees. You got to hear from somebody, oh, they fired me. What happened? It's old point system they got. Every time somebody coming off, now look at them. I done learned about the point system. But see, what folk want you to believe is that they had an emergency. And I had to go see mama. She needed me down there. So they go see mama and just don't go to work. Point. They was already at 9:10, you're fired. But see, what the person won't understand is that the 10th point didn't fire you. Oh, God. It was point 1 and 2. And then 3 when you laid out for your birthday. Oh, God. Come on, somebody. So that's the reason they don't mind firing you, because they recognize it ain't about the 10th point. It's about how you got to 10. But if you be honest, you lost the job and it's self-inflicted. You never got the promotion, because nobody wants to promote laziness. I'm moving on, but tell 3 folk, we got to stop hurting ourselves. We got to. Stop hurting ourselves. We got to stop hurting ourselves. Come on, tell 2 more folk, we got to stop hurting ourselves. Sister, you got to stop choosing the same raggedy. You got to make some better decisions. Brother, you got to stop looking at how every woman look and look beneath at some values and principles. We got to stop hurting ourselves. Some of us got to stop church hopping. We got to stop hurting ourselves. Be seated. But there are hardships that God appoints. But he does so for the child of God's betterment. Better means, 1, he appointed the hardship. He's allowing the suffering, but it's going to make you better. Better meaning is going to improve you. You're hurting, but this is going to help you. Yes, it is. Some hardships God appoint because there's something we need to learn. It's amazing when you hear folk talk about how they got done wrong by people, and they say stuff like, Pastor, I never thought nobody would do you that dirty. Well, see, understand, you just learned something. You just learned that you can't underestimate people. You learn something about people. Sometimes you got to learn something about your own family. It can be terrifying to know that though you have the same blood, we don't have each other back. And some folk have to learn that the hard way. But afflictions will often teach us something. Some of you know you're going through right now, boy, you learn it. You learn it. Come on. There are things you can go through in hardships that you learn things that you never would have learned that had you. Oh, God. Y'all know my famous example I like to use. When money tight, sometimes you learn how far that hand to go on E. You learn it. You ain't got no gas to put in it, and you keep driving. You say, man, this is low as I got it right here. This is on the heat. But then some of us done been to the point to where we like, this thing got to be broke. It passed the heat. This thing is laying down, but you didn't have the money that you needed, but you learned how far that car go. Yeah, you did. You learn. Some of us learn when to write checks. We learn when not to write them. We learn where we can write them and have a few days. But then we learn if you write one over here, you better. God Almighty, anybody ever learn stuff like that? But we learned it by writing a check somewhere. Then the next day, say, how did that clear? So they go immediately. So they doing this electronic stuff. Be seated. Y'all don't remember the day you write a check, almost had a week for it to clear. You wrote a check and didn't get paid next week. Don't cover it with next. Oh, Lord, y'all. Some of y'all don't remember that. Them checks will just sit out there and float. But these jokers ain't floating no more. They float right into that bank where you, wherever you write it. But you learn things. Am I right about it? I want to add a second meaning to better, which is to recover. Because sometimes hardships come to cause a child of God to recover things. In 1 Samuel 30, they had attacked Ziklag and David men. Took the wives, the children, and so forth. David prayed to God and said, shall I pursue those who have broken into the camp? God said, yeah, pursue. And then gave him a promise. And said, you shall without fail recover all. So he told David, though you're going through suffering and pain, every man crying and so forth and weeping, yet God make David a promise. In the midst of battling something tough, he tell David, you're going to recover all. David, you're going to be made better as a result of getting attacked. Oh, God, that's a word. See, that was somebody, Rhema. You're under attack, but you're going to be made better as a result of the attack. Good God Almighty, you better tell somebody, I'm under attack. But don't worry about me. I'm going to recover. Anybody got that recovering attitude? Under attack. But see, when I'm being tried or going through hardship, the last thing I want is folk feeling sorry for me. I want people to know about me. If you know that I'm going through, know that I will recover. Know that I'm going to get better. Don't shed a tear for me. I'm going to get better. I'm going to recover all. Am I right about it? To be bitter means to be resentful. Now, some folk go through hardships and they become resentful. Yeah. A lot of us have been there. They mainly become resentful because they feel about their hardship or suffering that somehow they've been done wrong. They have been treated unfairly. And this causes resentment. They're not just going through, but they're mad about what they're going through. Not just being done wrong by people, but they are extremely angry at those who are doing it to the point to where they cannot forgive. A lot of bitter folk just want revenge. That's all they want. I just want to get some get back. He hurt me, and I'm telling you, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to hurt him or somebody that look like him. See, that's real. That's real. You even have people will come to church, won't tell you this, but they mad at God. Why didn't God help me? Why didn't God stop this from happening? Why don't God just do this or do that? And so they get mad at God. Can I be honest? All I got to tell on myself, I've been mad. God. You say, when, Pastor? Few times. Praying, but he ain't doing it. Crying, get me out, Jesus. As if he's singing back to me, I got you in. Lord, make this better. Lord, I need better by Friday. Friday, get here, and it's like I asked God to make it worse, because it's worse. See, you got to know how to handle when things take a turn for the worse after you believed for the better. See, this is when bitterness set in. Folk won't come to the altar for prayer. They so bitter they don't believe in the power of prayer. I'm not giving. I'm going to give today, but not the tithe, not the tenth. I'm going to give the sixth, the fifth, the seconds. Because God is not doing for me financially what I feel he owes me based upon what I'm giving. See, you got folk like that in the church. They're not going to come up. That's not going to be their testimony. Y'all look at me like, what are these people at? You sitting beside one, probably. But they're not going to greet you and you say, what's going on, my sister? And your sister say to you, I'm mad at God. I'll talk to you later. I got to go up here and sing. They're not going to do that. What's going on, Minister so-and-so? God ain't right. Well, it's about time for me to pray.
Hallelujah.
Mad at God, but trying to prophesy to folk. What kind of prophet is you? Used to be the God to do it lady. That's what you were known for, telling folk, God to do it. You ain't the God to do it woman no more. Matter of fact, we rarely hear you say anything. Folk get mad. They try to change churches. Why are you leaving? I'm mad. I had a person tell me in my office what they was upset about in reference to the church. Real story. And I told him, I said, hold on now. I said, but I've been preaching about that for a whole series. Folk don't love people. I said, but I've been preaching 3 messages on how we got to love. How there can't be respect of person. How everybody has to be treated godly. Person looks back at me and said, I know you have, and I ain't been liking it. That's what they told me. I said, you haven't been liking the messages about loving? You know why? Because the person wanted to hold on to their bitterness. Oh, this is where I'm coming your way. See, you got folk don't want deliverance. They don't want help. Help is not what they want. They want the bitterness. They want the anger. God, I'm right about it. And you have folk who are bitter about the past. Very angry about things that happened sometime years ago. Be surprised how grown folk still bitter about something that happened when they was 9 years old. I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about, not now. But I'm talking about to set up and be bitter when they think about on their 9th birthday, all I asked for was a bicycle. Think I got it? Think I got anything I'm wanting to, but I didn't. Never got the bicycle. But on my sister's 10th birthday, did she get a bicycle? Yes, she did. But did I get one? And they never let it go. They never let that go. Don't you tell them you're going bike riding. They have a thing against bicycles. Talk to me about no bicycles. See, y'all out there laughing because it's straight up real when you deal with why people are so bitter. How it entered them and never left. Folk get their heart broke by people. But I got news for you. Sometime in life, you will love somebody, but they won't love you back. Or they'll never love you on the level that you love them. Now, what you gonna do? You got a choice to make. You can move on and find the one that will love. Or you can become bitter about who didn't love you. See, that's real deal right there. And D&D folk act like their heart is the only heart that ever been broken. Can I be honest? God, I'm up here telling on myself. I had my heart broke by people that didn't even know I liked them. Yeah, I had major crushes on teachers. I won't just erase the board. I will wash the board for you. I will stay here and protect the board for you if need be. I just want to see you. He ain't never noticed me. Boy, are we laughing? Their folk married. But that ain't the person they love. Yes, it's the person they married, but not the one they love. And they will continually remind that person in ways that you're not the one I love, you're the one I married. Bitterness will make you settle. I got to move on. I don't know if y'all can handle this type teaching. See, when you really deal with bitterness, yeah, it's deep. But just like you got those that's bitter about the past, you got folks just as bitter about what's happening in the present. And then folk have the nerve to be bitter about that which they hadn't seen, which is the future. Which meaning if you speak, you tell them, better coming. They too bitter to receive it. Notice 1 Peter 4. Notice 1 Peter 4. Yeah, you have to deal with this in the church. In the church. Bitterness. Bitterness in folk. And see, when God has appointed you to go through a hardship, you got to have a desire to get better, not better. You got to sometimes fight off bitterness. But notice the mistake some folk make when dealing with hardship. 1 Peter 4:12. Y'all get ready to turn a little bit. Beloved. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. See, if I rejoice, I'll be made better. But if I think strange, I open the door for bitterness. Strange thinking is defeated thinking. I'm going through hardship, but I'm thinking like a defeated person. I'm thinking, why me when I ask God to anoint me? My thinking is that of a defeated person. And Peter warns the church of Asia Minor, do not think it strange. It's tough, but don't think like a defeated person. Yeah, they left you, but don't think like a defeated person. Bills might be behind, but don't think like a defeated person. Don't write yourself off. Don't say that it's over. And God has not said that it is over. Don't think like a defeated person. Think it not strange. When your thinking is defeated, you're going to open the door for bitterness. Why? Notice Proverbs 23. Notice Proverbs 23. We're dealing with it. Y'all hang in there. About to enter the close. Proverbs 23:7. Oh, Lord. Why, Pastor, is it important for me not to have defeated or deadly thinking? Notice Proverbs 23:7. He's dealing with the miser, but remember, this is a proverb that reveals truth. Proverbs 23:7. He simply said, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Tell your neighbor how you think matters. Tell somebody if you think you're defeated, shout back to that person, you are. If you think you're pitiful, you are. For as a man thinks, notice it again. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks, notice where? In his what? Heart. So what? You see. If I don't want to get bitter, I better get in control of my of my thinking. I better get my thoughts right. Can I be honest? I've known and seen and heard of bitter people hurting folk. They finally reach a climax. So bitter, so angry, so mad, so upset, so unhappy that they hurt people. And normally bitter people hurt folk who love them. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. There are bitter men who consistently hurt good women who love them. Yeah, they do. And they goal in life is to inflict as much pain on that woman as they can. Because inwardly, that man is upset about how he continues to get defeated. And he has no one to take it out on, he thinks, but his wife. And so a lot of times he calls her names that's really meant for him. When he yells at her, "You're so stupid," he really means he's so stupid. Tell your neighbor, no matter how painful something may be, get control of your thoughts. Can I show you the power of gaining control of your thoughts? To the point to where you know without a shadow of a doubt that what you're going through is painful. But when it comes to your thought process, you thinking better, not bitter. I want to show you what that looked like in Job 14 and 14. Yeah, turn down in your Bibles. Job 14 and 14. There's some good stuff right here. I said, there's some good stuff. Because some folk going through something and some are on the verge of bitterness. They feel it entering them. But then others, you've been controlled by it for months, for years. And we need to get better, not what? Bitter. Job 14, 14. You can't afford to get bitter, especially when the people who hurt you have moved on. Come on. You bitter with a company. That company closed down. They ain't even in existence no more. Come on, somebody. What can you inflict on the company? They closed down. They fired you and everybody else. They ain't closed. You run around mad. They could have kept them doors open for a little bit longer. They knew it was Christmas was around the corner. Why they do that? Come on. There's a better job out there. That's all I'm trying to teach for. When things happen, sometimes the next thing that happens is the better thing. Sometime in order to gain, there must be subtraction. Come on. I know I'm teaching right. Sometimes we don't ever want subtraction, but we want addition. Do you know something must leave for good things to come? Some of you right now crying over friends that were not your friend. Let God add a friend. Good God Almighty. I said, let God add a friend. And not that two-faced person that you know you can't trust. It's your mind when you're suffering. What's your mind like? Ain't the only one battling. Get your mind right. Notice in Job 14 and 14. Notice the power of a person's mind. Notice what Job said. If a man dies, shall he live again? Here's what I want you to see. Job said, all the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. Woo! I should have got some shouts out there. Tell your neighbor that's having the right mind. Job said, all the days of my heart, of my difficult service, I will wait. What are you waiting for, Job? For my change to come. I thought y'all were ready to preach. Tell two folks, I know my change coming. If you got the audacity, I dare you to jump to your feet and run to somebody and tell them with excitement, my change is coming.
Woo! I'm being fought on every side, but my change is coming. God, where are my preachers at? Where are my preachers at? Preach it to two folk. My change is coming. That's the reason I can't give up. My change is. I can't throw in the towel cause my. I can't get mad cause my change is. Can't lay down and die because my. Oh, are you ready to preach it? Are you ready to preach it? Preach it to one person. My change is coming. Woo! And tell your neighbor that change that's coming is a change for better. For tell your neighbor, for better is here. And better is coming my way. Tell your neighbor, better is here. And better is, you better wave your hand. Cause I'm calling better over. Better, you're here and you're still. Come on, better. Come on, debt cancellation. Come on, heart desire. Come on, healing. Job said, I just gotta wait. I'm hurting in my body, but I gotta. Finances is jacked up, but I gotta. Trouble in the house, but I gotta. Trouble at the church, but I gotta. Folk lying on me, but I gotta. Scandalized in my name, but I just gotta. I just gotta. Cause change is. Change is. Change is.
A place of refuge is located at 10 Fisher Alley in the city of Noonan, Georgia. If you would like to visit us, our worship times are every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:15 p.m. To order today's message on CD, please call the church office at 770-252-3855.